late 1800s, there was a pastor who was a traveling pastor. He would go to various churches to preach and share, and his family stayed at home. And when in one of his travels, when he came home, he brought a little toy for his children that was in the shape of a helicopter, a little spinny thing at the top. And when he brought this little toy home, his boys started to play with it, and they felt really inspired as they saw this and the way it mechanically worked and it was used. And these boys, as they saw that, they felt that they would learn something a little bit more about flying. Years later, these boys, they were really engrossed with bikes. It was all the rage at that time, and they started to sell bicycles. And after they started to sell bicycles, they eventually started to repair bicycles as they learned a little bit more mechanical things. And as they learned a little bit more and developed in their abilities with bicycles, they started to manufacture bicycles. And they designed various bicycles. And as they were doing this designing of various bicycles and their business was starting to earn money, it gave them a little bit more flexibility to do some more stuff and venture off into trying to figure out how they could actually make one of these bicycles fly. And they started to do some various experiments and designing, and eventually one day in 1903, Orville and Wilbur were able to make this aircraft that flew. And the Wright brothers, as they're known now, were the ones that were the first to be able to fly. They didn't have any formal education. They weren't. They didn't go to school to learn all of these things, but they took a God-given ability and used that God-given ability to learn more and to multiply it and to grow in it and to develop it. They took this God-given ability for mechanical understanding and engineering and knowledge, and they had a bunch of other God-given abilities as well that they used together to be able to develop this plane that could fly and radically revolutionize our whole method and mode of travel. That was just over 100 years ago. And now you have these big planes that have these luxury suites that you could have your own bedroom and bathroom and all sorts of things flying in the sky in 100 years' time. How amazing is that? This God-given ability and understanding that came to the Wright brothers. And as we're going journeying through this series called Made for More, we looked a little bit at spiritual gifts. We looked a little bit at our heart passions. And now we're going to look at the abilities, the God-given abilities that he has given to us. What is a God-given ability? It's this: a collection of strengths God wants us to use to fulfill our unique kingdom purpose in life. And so the question that I have for you today is, what is the God-given ability that he's given to you, and how are you using it for kingdom purpose? We all have God-given abilities. God-given abilities are not differentiated because if you're a follower of Jesus or not a follower of Jesus. So you might have a question, Daniel, what's the difference between spiritual gifts and abilities? So here are a couple of points about the difference between spiritual gifts and God-given abilities. Abilities are cultivated through education, practice, experience. Spiritual gifts, though, they are activated by faith, prayer, and the empowerment of the Spirit. Everyone has abilities. Everyone in this room, you have at least one ability, if you know it or you don't. They are given by God. It is common grace that he gives to all of us, right? So everyone has given abilities, and we have to cultivate those abilities. We have to multiply those abilities. We have to invest into those abilities. Spiritual gifts, on the other side, are given particularly to followers of Jesus by the Spirit of God. And abilities are given to fulfill the creation mandate. If you go back to Genesis, be fruitful and multiply, take care of the earth, to create, to work, to care for the world. Abilities are given to fulfill the creation mandate, whereas spiritual gifts are given to fulfill the gospel mandate or the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and make disciples, edify the body of Christ, and work in that way. And so there's a difference between spiritual gifts and God-given abilities. But they're both given for us to be able to use them for kingdom purposes. Now, people would have God-given abilities that are not used for kingdom purposes, But for the purpose of this series that we're going through, I want to encourage you to use your God-given abilities for kingdom purposes. We might have God-given abilities that we're not using for kingdom purposes, and that's totally fine. We might just be using them in order for our work to pay the bills, to pay our mortgage, to pay things and do live in this world, and that's fine. God gives us abilities towards that. But my encouragement to you is, how can we use our God-given abilities for the furtherance of the kingdom? Let me give you one example so you can see maybe a little bit of the difference. Let's take hospitality. I'm going to show you it in three different levels, okay? The first is we are all called to be gracious and kind to others. Can we agree on that? We're all called to be hospitable to others, right? That's just common grace to everyone, okay? So there's hospitality that we can show to everyone because of what Jesus has done for us. We show loving grace to others. There is hospitality that is an ability. It is something that some people have a passion about hospitality. Some people that they feel like, that's part of the way that God has made me, so I'm going to work in the hospitality industry. I'm going to work in a hotel. I'm going to work in, you know, some type of hospitality-led job. And then there is hospitality as a spiritual gift. That is empowered by the Spirit. And so maybe you have the gift of hospitality, and people see that you're a hospitable person. They see how you use your gift of hospitality. Maybe what happens is one day you're praying and you get inspired. And you get inspired because you want to cook a meal for somebody that you think is going through a hard time. The Spirit is speaking to you. You're feeling the leading and guiding of the Spirit. And so you make this meal and you go over and you say, hey, the Lord wanted me to make this meal for you. And maybe you make shepherd's pie. And you go to that person, and that person says, do you know what? I was going through a hard time, and I was missing my mom. And as I was missing my mom, I was craving her shepherd's pie because that's my comfort food. And here you come on the most difficult day of my life with this meal that is shepherd's pie. Is that coordinated by the Spirit? 100%. Is that something that us being empowered by the Spirit to be hospitable to others through that gift of hospitality? 100%. Can you see it on three different levels? Hospitality. So there are some spiritual gifts, as we studied last week, that are also natural abilities. There are some spiritual gifts that are purely spiritual gifts, like the working of miracles, purely spiritual gifts. I don't think anyone has an ability to do miracles on your own, okay? So there are some that are purely spiritual gifts. There are some that are a little bit overlapped, but when we operate them through the empowerment of the Spirit, they are a spiritual gift. And I can give you examples of other ones in terms of how we use our spiritual gifts to listen and hear the voice of the Lord and being empowered by the Spirit to move and operate in the Spirit realm. We live in the Spirit, we operate in the Spirit, and as we do that, we're being obedient to the Spirit of God and using our spiritual gifts for kingdom purposes. But natural abilities we all have. And my encouragement to you is, what are you doing with those natural abilities? How are you using them? How are you multiplying? So in this parable that Jill's read for us, okay, talking about these different servants that received different amounts of money, actually, and how they multiply that. Let's take a look at that and share a few lessons here. The first one is this. The Lord has entrusted you with God-given abilities. You have, every one of us has God-given abilities. Now the question is, what are you going to do with those God-given abilities? Here in Matthew 25, it says, he called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. So he realized this person that could take five bags, he had a little bit more abilities. The person that had two, okay, I think he'll be okay with two. And the person that had one, okay, I think he's good just with one. He then left on his trip. Now, do you know that the word of God actually influences culture and influences language? So the Greek word, if some of you might be familiar with the King James translation of the Bible, in the King James translation, this parable in Matthew 25 uses the word talents instead of money or instead of silver, okay? It uses the word talents, and talents is actually a transliteration of the Greek word talenton. And that word talenton was used in the Greek, and as the Bible was translated and as it was used years and years, that word talenton was translated to talent. And that word talent got into the King James Version of the Bible, but as it was used in this parable, because they were given gifts according to their ability, given, they were distributed this money according to their ability, the word talent started to be used for the way that we know talent now, an ability, a gift, a talent that you have to do something. You have a talent to sing. You have a talent to play music. You have a talent to do this or a talent to do that. And that's actually how this word talent became widely used in the English language as a transliteration of the Greek word talenton that's found in this parable. And so you see here, this wasn't actually a small thing. So if you go back to the actual weight of money, so the talenton or the talent, it was a weight of money. It was a measurement. It was about 6,000 denarii, which was equivalent, one of them was equivalent to about 20 years worth of wages. So the person that got the five bags of money, do you know what they got? 100 years worth of wages. What would you do with that? Like, that's a lot of trust, right? The person that got two bags, 40 years worth of wages, right? The person that got the one bag, 20 years worth of wages. So this wasn't a small thing. This was something that the master was really entrusting these servants to. And it's something for us to realize the abilities that God has given to us, they are not a small thing. How are we using them for kingdom purposes? In Exodus, we read about a talent that was given to some people in order to build the tabernacle. It says here, I have specifically chosen Bezalel. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engravings and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. So this is a talent that was given to him. And now the Spirit of God came upon him, and he used that talent, he used that ability to make the tabernacle in the Old Testament. But friends, God has given all of us talents. How are we using that to further the kingdom of God? How are we using that in combination with our spiritual gifts, in combination with our heart passions, as we talked about last week? How are we using that for kingdom purposes? If you look at a story in the Old Testament, a story of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jacob, and he was given a coat of many colors, and his brothers were very upset with him. He had a lot of brothers. He had 11 other brothers, and they were really upset because he was the favored child. And so Joseph, the brothers were envious of him and jealous of him, he was sold into slavery. Now Joseph, if you look at his story, I would say that Joseph had an ability in administration and a spiritual gift of interpreting dreams. He had an ability of administration. He probably learned a little bit about that in his father's household. Hey, he had 10 brothers. They had a lot of people to take care of. And the father trusted him. But not only that, when he was sold into slavery, he was sold into Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, the Bible tells us that Joseph became the ruler over Potiphar's house. Potiphar saw how diligent he was, and Potiphar entrusted everything into Joseph's hand. You see how Joseph is taking this ability of administration, and he's using it, and he's growing in it. Then Joseph gets falsely accused and thrown into prison. Now he's overseeing a little bit more, not just Potiphar's house. Now he's overseeing the whole prison, and not initially, but eventually he's given authority over the whole prison. And he's using his gift of administration there. Then, years later, he comes into Pharaoh's court, and he uses his spiritual gift of interpreting dreams, and Pharaoh makes him the second in all of Egypt. And now Joseph is using this ability, this ability of administration, to administer all of Egypt. Now, could Joseph go right away to that? No, I think God used the opportunities of him being in Pharaoh's house, him being in prison, to grow that ability, to grow that talent that he had. And friends, for us, God wants us to do the same. I'm thankful for so many here at Unionville Alliance Church that are using their abilities for kingdom purposes. A few weeks ago, Marjorie Freeman, she passed away, and her husband, Bruce, they were longtime members here at Unionville Alliance Church. And Bruce had an ability with property and land. God had given him wisdom, and he did so much in his regular job with property and land, but he did so much for Unionville Alliance Church. You know, before, we only had one exit out onto 16th Avenue, but Bruce realized that wasn't safe. We needed another exit, and so he fought and used all of his wisdom and understanding to petition the government to get us that driveway that goes out to this way to Bridal Walk. And he used his abilities for that way. We can call that the Bruce Freeman way, that little piece of driveway that goes out to Bridal Walk. because of what he was able to do. Do you know our tech director? He's out in behind doing our online audio. Terry Doner. He started working in tech when he was 12 years old here at Unionville Alliance Church. And he took this ability that God had given to him, and he started to learn, and as much as you can know at 12 years old, right? And learn and learn, and as he served and continued to serve, he grew with that ability, that technical knowledge that he has, and now to be such a, for many years, to be such a great blessing here at Unionville Alliance Church, using that technical knowledge and ability that God had given him, and not just to leave it there, but for it to continue to grow. A number of months ago, I was talking about leaders here at Unionville Alliance Church, and after the service, someone came up to me, and he told me about some of the things that he does in his role at work, and it happened to be at that time, the board, we were trying to do some strategic planning for Unionville Alliance Church, and you know what he told me? He's like, Daniel, at the bank that I work at, which is a very large bank, one of the big banks in Canada, he's like, I do strategic planning for them. I was like, really? That's wonderful. Could you do that for us too? And he said, yes. And taking that ability that he has to use that here in this context as well. When you see some of the musicians, if you see Maggot playing or Jim or Paul, if you were to ask them, oh, did you just learn yesterday? No. Maybe they took an ability that they had initially, and you grow that ability, you multiply that ability. Like these people that are commended here, they were given 2 and 5, and they multiplied it to 4 and 10. How are we taking the abilities that God has given to us to multiply that for kingdom purposes? How are we using that? Maybe you're doing something in your work. Maybe you work in marketing. And maybe you know things about social media. Maybe you know things about YouTube or Instagram. And can you take some of that ability that you have and maybe help us at Unionville Alliance Church in the same way? Maybe you lead teams in your work, and you have an ability of leadership because you use that in your work environment. Could you take that ability and use that maybe here at Unionville Alliance Church or in another kingdom initiative outside of Unionville Alliance Church? Can we take the abilities that God has given to us and use them for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? Because God has made you, and you have abilities that God wants to use for his purposes. There's so many beautiful ways that God wants to use our lives for his kingdom purposes. What is the ability that you have? Just look at your work and see what you do for work. There has to be a number of abilities that are there for the work that you do. Can you translate those for kingdom purposes? I remember Nikki Gumbel saying that if you can lead an alpha discussion table, then you can join a conversation at the G12 summit, right? If you can lead an alpha table, you can be talking with world leaders because you're good. The skills that you learn at an alpha table translate to be able to lead in other places. The church often is a wonderful ground for us to develop professionally, to use the abilities that God has given to us and learn and grow and develop. Number two, it's not about how much God has given you, but what you do with what he has given you. Do you know there's about $35 million worth of gift cards in Canada that are unused? $35 million. Our friends south of the border, they have about $20 billion worth of unused gift cards, right? It's not about how much God has given to you, but what you do with what he has given to you. How are you using that? Having all those gift cards and not using it is not any good, right? How are you using that? In Matthew chapter 25, it says, the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. How are we using what we have? It doesn't matter the amount. It doesn't matter if you have 1 ability or 2 abilities or 10 abilities. The question is, how are you using what God has put into your hands? The way that God has made you, you are made for more. So the way that God has made you and formed you and crafted you and shaped you and given you abilities in so many different ways, how are you using that for the kingdom of God? For kingdom purposes. I want to encourage you, if you're new here or you're just joining us today and you haven't listened to the previous messages on our heart passions or on spiritual gifts, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to them because each message is built one upon the other. The whole series together is a comprehensive view of how God has made us for more. And no one can say, well, Daniel, I've already lived 50 years of my life. I've already lived 60 years of my life. No, as I said at the beginning, we were made with purpose. And God, maybe you are actually in the prime decade of your life to take all your experiences and your passions and your abilities and your spiritual gifting and all of those and leverage that for kingdom purposes. Maybe you're a teenager here or a young person here in your 20s or 30s. You have your whole life ahead of you to be use your abilities and passions and gifting for the kingdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. God has given you ability. Do it with all your might so that ability can grow and develop and change and go from being 2 to 4, go from being 5 to 10. How are we developing and growing? In Luke chapter 18, it says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. It's not about how many abilities you have. It's not about the greatness of the thing that you're doing. God is looking for faithfulness. Are you taking the ability that you have and are you multiplying it? Are you growing in it? Are you developing it? Are you using it for kingdom purposes? In Colossians, it says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. Last week, I was talking a little bit about Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an interesting story because Nehemiah was a cupbearer. You could look at that and say, Nehemiah, your ability is what? Take a cup, fill it with wine, and give it to the king. Wow, Nehemiah, that's an amazing ability that you have, right? But Nehemiah probably had abilities of administration. Nehemiah, it wasn't just as the cupbearer, he had to make sure all the different wines that were there in the kingdom, all the different wines that needed to be served. There's so many other things probably that Nehemiah had to do. But Nehemiah was faithful in that little bit of administration that he had to do as the cupbearer of the king. And then that ability of administration, God took that and probably the spiritual gift of leadership in Nehemiah, and the passion for Jerusalem, and he wove those three things together, the ability of administration, the spiritual gift of leadership, and the passion for Jerusalem, and brought Nehemiah back to the land of Israel, and that was the start of what? A revival. That was the start of a revival. God using Nehemiah's ability of administration as he came back to the land of Israel. And there's so many other things that he did that we don't have time to get into. But Nehemiah's story is so beautiful because you see how God used Nehemiah holistically in the various ways that God crafted him and formed him and shaped him. And he used him for his kingdom purposes. Nehemiah's life wasn't a waste. It was used with purpose and intentionality to bring revival back to Israel after a time that they had been in captivity for so many years. Number three, the Lord is looking for a return on his investment. In this parable, we see the master leaving something with the servants, and when he comes back, he's not expecting the same. He's expecting something more. In Matthew chapter 25, it says, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went and worked and earned 2 more. The servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Let me tell you this. Us reading this in our current culture and current context, because we have banks and we have electronic money and all of these different things, we think, how silly is that for the person to dig a hole in the ground and leave his money? But actually, for the culture of that time, this was considered the safest thing for him to do. People did this. They dug a hole. They stored their money. They didn't have the same kind of banking infrastructure that we have right now or the electronic things that we have now. I'm going to just tap, you know, to pay for this, right? They didn't have any of those things. So actually, this was the safest thing for that person to do. This would have been considered the normal. And friends, many of us are just doing the safest thing. Many of us are just doing the normal thing. The person that took 2 and invested it and got 4, the person that took 5 and invested it and got 10, they took a risk. They did something that was different. They did something that wasn't the normal. The regular line, the bottom line here was dig a hole, put that money there. That would have been considered totally okay because everyone else was doing that as well. That was the comfortable thing, the easy thing, the normal thing, the natural thing. But the risk was to take the 2 and to take the 5 and invest it. Take those abilities and make something more out of it? Are we like that one person that is just hiding our ability and not using it? I want to stay in my comfort zone. I want to stay in what I know. I'm just gonna do the normal. Well, everyone else is doing this. I'm just gonna do this as well. Or are we gonna take our ability and use it for kingdom purposes? Are we gonna multiply it? What kind of servant are we today? Are we the servant that did what he did with the one, or with the two, or with the five? In Exodus, we read about, again, these people that God had given abilities to create the tabernacle, and says this, and the Lord had given both him and Aholiab, okay, these two men of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. So now they're not just doing the making of the tabernacle. They're not just doing the regular thing. What are they doing? They're developing their ability by now teaching. They're helping others. They're investing into others. The Lord had given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue and purple and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth, and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers. They started to teach others. It was a risk. I know how to do this, but if I teach somebody else and they have to make parts of the tabernacle too, like, they might do it wrong. It's just better if I did it myself. It's a risk. But friends, risk is right. Take the risk. Don't do the normal thing. Don't do the bottom of the line thing. Don't do the easy thing. Don't do the regular thing. Don't do the normal thing. The kingdom of God is different. The kingdom of God challenges us. The kingdom of God pushes us. Because if we want the world to know the love of Jesus, if we want the gospel to go to the unreached places around the world, we can't do the regular thing. We can't continue to do the normal thing. We have to take a risk. John Piper says it this way: risk is right. It's better to lose your life than to waste it. That's the title of his book. It's a great book to read. When I read it, I was challenged. Risk is right. It's better to lose your life than to waste it. In the book, he says this: if our single, all-embracing passion is to make much of Christ in life and death, and if the life that magnifies him most is the life of costly love, then life is a risk. And risk is right. The one with the one talent, the one with the one sack of gold, of silver, he just hid it. In that time, in that culture, that was normal. That was fine. That was the regular thing. But the master came back and said, "You useless servant, why did you do that? You could have at least put it into a banking system and earned some interest on it. There were some, systems like that. But the normal thing, what the majority of people were doing, they hid their money with them. They kept it close to them. Don't do that with your abilities. Take a risk. Risk is right. You know, there's a story of Kodak. How many here remember Kodak? I remember when in the 90s, my parents and our family, we went to Australia, and I remember my dad bringing these like rolls of film. Do you remember that? Some of you might remember that. Rolls of film, and you know, we got to Australia, and you know, we're taking photos of our vacation. It was our first vacation after coming to Canada from Sri Lanka, and we were taking these photos, but if I took a photo, I had to be very careful. There's only 24 in the roll. So make sure you got it framed properly, everything is good, click, right? Today, I'm like with my son taking like 10 selfies, you know, at once and hoping that, you know, there's a good smile for one of those photos. But you know, Kodak developed a digital camera in 1975? In 1975, they developed a digital camera. They had so many patents in the digital realm. But they were making money off of that regular film and people developing their film. But in 1975, they had developed a digital camera, and they sat on it. Why? Because it was more comfortable, easier to say, this part of our business of developing film is making us lots of money. This part is very risky. I'm not sure about this part, but I know this place is the comfort zone. I know this place is going to make us money, so we're going to just stick with this. 1975, the iPhone came out in 2007. They could have jumped on the technology and taken the risk to develop that, but they didn't. Years later, they ended up selling all of their patents to Facebook, Google, and Apple. They sold it because they couldn't do anything with it. They were already beaten out of the market. Friends, risk is right. Take the risk for the kingdom of God. Number four, fear will lead to inaction because we don't know the character of our Savior. The problem with this, the third servant, is that he had a perception of the master that was actually incorrect. I know that you're a harsh person, and so I was afraid. His inaction was because of fear, because he didn't know the character of his master. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, and so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." He didn't know the character of the master. And so he was fearful. Friends, the opposite of fear is faith. Believe. Believe in Jesus. Believe in the good plans he has for you. Believe in the promises of God. In Hebrews, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Have faith. Have belief. Don't let fear dominate your life. This servant couldn't operate properly because he was dominated by fear, because he didn't have a proper perception of the master. Look at the opposite way in Peter. Peter is here in the boat. Jesus is walking on the water. To make a long story short, Jesus is on the water, walking on the water. Peter is in the boat, and Peter sees Jesus. Now, if it was you and me, we would probably be like, "I'm good on the boat. Master, you are there. I'm good right here." But look what Peter says. "Lord, if it's really you, Lord, if that's really you, Lord, if that's you who is kind and gracious, if that's you who is a promise keeper, if that's you is the one who protects me, if that's you the one who helps me, if that's you the one who defends me, then Lord, let me come out on the water with you." Peter knew the character of Jesus because he had spent time with Jesus. And because he knew the character of Jesus, Peter was able to say, "Lord, if that's you, if that's really you, the person I know you to be, you're walking on the water, and I know you'll be kind to me, I know you'll be gracious to me, I know you'll protect me, I know you'll take care of me, I know you will help me, I know you will defend me, I know you'll be there for me in my time of need, so Jesus, can I come out there to be with you?" Do we know our Savior? Do we know the kindness of God? If we do, we'll take that risk, and we'll walk out on the water. We'll take the abilities that God has given to us, and we'll look to develop them and grow them and use them for the kingdom purposes. And lastly, if we faithfully use what God has entrusted to us now, we will be rewarded for it eternally. Friends, there is an eternity to come, and it's not about sitting on clouds, playing your harp, and just relaxing the whole time. That's not what heaven's about. Look at some of these verses. In Matthew, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Come into this eternal bliss." In a similar parable in Luke 19, he says this, "Well done," the king exclaimed, "you are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be a governor of 10 cities as your reward." If we're faithful in that which is little, God will give us more responsibilities. You know, there's a saying, if you want something done, give it to the busiest person, right? They'll get it done because they're faithful. Are we faithful in what God has given to us? You'd be a governor over 10 cities. In the kingdom of God to come, God wants us to be part of his government. God wants us to be part of his kingdom. So what are your abilities? Here's a few of them. If you go to our notes page, uachome.org/notes, click on the link for today's notes, okay? And you will see at the bottom of the notes, I've listed 50 of them. They come from a course called Shape, which is what we're going to run in the new year. And so some of the things that we're talking about in this series, if you want to dive deeper into it, and I hope you would, then you can take that course with Pastor Justin. But there's 50 of them listed there. Here's a few of them. Building, the ability to construct, make, and assemble. Cooking, the ability to prepare, serve, feed, cater. Developing, the ability to expand, grow, and advance, increase. Facilitating, the ability to help, aid, assist, make possible. Landscaping, the ability to garden, plant, improve. That's not me for sure. I don't have a green thumb. Mentoring, the ability to advise, guide, teach. organizing, the ability to simplify, arrange, fix, classify, coordinate, writing, the ability to compose, create, record. These are just some of them. Go to our notes page. You'll see 50 of them there. In our notes page as well, there's a link to the Clifton Strength Finder. If you want to do that, there's a free version, a paid version. You can do that and discover some of your strengths and discover some of your abilities that you have. Rick Warren in Purpose Driven Life, he said this: the abilities you do have are a strong indication of what God wants you to do with your life. They are clues to knowing God's will for you. God doesn't waste abilities. He matches our calling and our capabilities. What is the ability that God has given to you? One person said the greatest ability is availability. Are you available for what God has for you? Are you using the abilities for his kingdom purposes? I'll invite the worship team to come. I want to tell you about a young woman in our church. 9 years ago when I came to Unionville Alliance, I was in my office and I saw this young woman out at our desk. She was answering phones. She was a teenager. She was answering phones. Our office administrator at the time was on vacation and she had come to serve and she was answering phones. And as she was answering phones, I could see that she loved Jesus and had a passion for the things of God. She would serve on our worship team. She would serve in children's ministry. She came with a heart to serve, and she was using the abilities that God had given to her. And as she started to serve, she started to develop those abilities as a teenager and started to grow in those abilities. As she started to do that, she started to see the spiritual gifts that God had given to her. People in our congregation started to know the spiritual gifts that God had given to her as well. And so then as she continued to serve, she came on part-time as a children's ministry assistant. She ran our camps for a couple of years as our camp director. And then a few years ago, I invited her and I said, "Allison, would you be our kids' pastor?" And she now is using her gifts and talents here at Unionville Alliance Church. She wasn't here today when the board acknowledged our pastoral staff, so I'll acknowledge her as well because she wasn't here to see the impact that she is making. She's on vacation this week, so when you see her come back next week, you can encourage her as well. She's using her gifts, her abilities, and her passion for Jesus, her passion for missions to invest into our children. Friends, can we use our life for kingdom purposes?